I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 to 28, and we're going to look at four things this morning that are unusually wise. We're going to look at some uncommon thoughts tied around common things. Verse 24 says, "There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." May God bless the reading of his holy word. This morning we're going to become myrmecologists. You say, "Craig, what is that? An expert in murmuring?" No, we're going to become ant experts this morning. Because when God wants to communicate wisdom to us, he doesn't always move in extravagant, majestic, and huge ways. God sometimes goes around his book, the Bible, and goes to the book of nature. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3, he uses an ox and an ass to teach a lesson. In the New Testament, he uses a rooster to teach a lesson about the life of Peter. And in the book of Numbers, he uses a jackass again to speak of his ways to Balaam the prophet. And we're going to look at the fact this morning that sometimes he will bypass the lion and the tiger and the buffalo and the elephant and the rhinoceros, and he may take us down to some small, insignificant little things in order to show his majesty. You know, something doesn't have to be majestic to speak the wisdom of God. Sometimes it's the little things in your life, like the ant, like the coney, like the locust, like the spider. We're going to look down at four little things that seem insignificant, but what they lack in strength, they make up for in wisdom. And sometimes God needs to use the book of nature to speak to us, and he has to use a creature instead of a preacher. And I want, now mostly ants get in the way. They're in your picnic basket. They're, whenever you spill, leave that honey uncovered, they show up. They're usually a nuisance, but God points us to the ant in such a strategic way, and we're going to look at some points wherein wisdom is revealed in a common thing so that you'll never look at ants again the same way. Now, usually we just want to get rid of them, but God says before you stomp on them or get the hose out, look at these majestic little creatures. There's over 10,000 species of ants. They can run so fast that the equivalent running in me would be me galloping, full gallop, like a horse. They can lift sometimes up to 50 times their own body weight. And they are amazing creatures. And we're going to underline some of the points that God wants us to see, because I believe that he wants us to be encouraged this morning to move ahead towards the future and let go of the past. You know, the past is a nice place to visit, but you really don't want to live there. God gave you a huge windshield in your car, and he gave you a little rearview mirror, and you're supposed to gaze out the windshield and just occasionally glance at the rearview mirror. But you cannot drive looking at the rearview mirror, or you will kill yourself and everyone around you. It's time to move toward the future. It's time to reveal all that God has done in the past, reconcile ourselves to the past, but move away from the past into the future. Someone say amen. All right, now let's look at some of these important points, because these ants are amazing. Job 12, verse 7 says, "Ask now of the beasts, and they shall teach thee." Do you know sometimes God wants to use the book of nature and a creature instead of a preacher? Well, the first thing about ants we need to know is they never waste a summer, but they make it count for winter. No one else can prepare you for your future except you. It's between you and God to get ready for the future. But look at what the ant does. The scripture says that the ant, in the midst of summer, makes provision for the winter. There's something instinctive in the ant that gives him a sense of timing. It gives her a sense of timing. She lives in a home with about 20 million others. The ant takes whatever is given to her. The large ants are soldiers. The medium-sized ants are workers. The small ones take care of the little ones. There is such order in the anthill. There is such unity. There is such harmony. There is such a sense of interpersonal communication that we look at the ant and God says, "I want you to see her because she's making the most of the summer and preparing for the winter." Are we making the most of our relationships right now, in the summer of our lives? Are we developing our relational skills so that when winter comes, we've actually matured? Are we sharpening the gifts and talents God's given us so that when we move from summer into winter, we're going to have something to show for it? You know, Dr. Henry Cloud talks about good time versus bad time in life. You know, bad time is when you just get older and you don't get wiser. When you move from summer to winter in your life and you have not learned one thing. You have not learned one relational skill. 5 years pass over you and you've not become anything God seeks that you would become spiritually. That's bad time. Good time is when you apply so the summer season, the present of your life in such a redemptive way, and you let God in, and by God, you're being shaped every day. You're taking your summer experience of the present, and you're investing it in the moment, in the now, so that when winter comes, there is something to show for it. He's not just talking about put $10 away occasionally for your future. It's good to invest financially with regard to your future. This does embrace that in an application. But I'm talking right now about our relational skills, our emotional condition. Are you the same wounded person you were 10 years ago? Have you grown an inch emotionally? A quarter of an inch spiritually as you move from summer to winter? Or are you in the same old place ruminating where you were 10 years ago? We run into you 10 years later and there's no good time has passed over your life, just bad time. Now, I don't want to depress you, but I'm asking a very important question. You see, God says, look at the ant. By the way, in chapter 6 of Proverbs, God says to the sluggard, look at the ant and go to her for wisdom. The sluggard is that snail-paced person that just never goes anywhere and never finishes anything. It always needs way too much encouragement to even get up on the right side of the bed. And sometimes we're not sluggards in the natural. We're going to our 9-to-5 job and we're being responsible with our finances, etc. But sometimes we're spiritual sluggards. And God says, look at the ant. Look at the industriousness of this ant. Look at this creature. You can't knock an ant down. If you destroy his world, he gets right back up and starts rebuilding. Ants don't complain. You ever notice that? We complain way too much. My God, anything goes on. Oh, I can't believe it. I can't. The ants don't complain. You knock their walls down, they get right back to work immediately. You cut them in half, and they'll use their antenna to pull themselves forward. They're always looking to the future. They're always in industry set to the future. And loved one, are we hopeful that what we're becoming in the present is taking us somewhere, somewhere for our future? Now, I want you to notice some more little points. The foresight of these little creatures is absolutely amazing. They're always forward thinking, they're forward acting, and they're working with what God has given them. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds for you to do, do it with all your strength. Now, they can't do certain things. They can't build cathedrals, but they can build great anthills. And you may not be able to do what I can do, and I may not be able to do what you can do. They can't build cathedrals, but they can build majestic anthills. So let them be what they are. Take the hand God's dealt you, but let's move forward. Secondly, ants let go of the past. Like I said, the past is a nice place to visit, but you don't want to live there. They're too busy in their industry moving towards the future in order to cling to the past. You know, most of us are slaves in some form to the past. Woulda, shoulda, coulda. If only. Old Lang Syne met my old lover in the grocery store. The snow was... Slaves to the past. Chained to the past. Ants. God says, look at the ant. By God, the ant lets go of the past immediately. I mean, you could wipe them out with a hose and they get right back up. And they move towards the future. The righteous man may fall 7 times, but he will get up again. We need to get up again. We need to let go of the past. We need to move into the future. Loved one, your future is more important than your past. Well, you don't know what happened. God knows. You can't relive your past. You can't undo your past. You can only redeem your past by putting it in the hands of God, finding closure, and move ahead, little ant. God says, go to the ant hill, and I want you to learn some lessons. They're working all summer long in good time in order to have something for the future in winter time, and they're able to release the past, and they disregard it altogether. So we need to do a little bit of the same thing. We need to participate in our community. The ants are always in harmony. They're always communicating. They're always current. They all know their place, and there's nothing that you can do to knock them down. And third, the ants ignore their present enemies. Do you know that ants are waterproof? Yeah, you did the thing with the hose when you were younger, didn't you? Yeah, you did. This is the USS Enterprise hailing you. Did you really hail the Mahura? Yeah, I think I did. You know, and declared, ants are waterproof. And you know, the only ones that die are the ones that don't shut their mouth during the deluge. Sometimes you have to shut your mouth when the deluge is on. That's not the time to pick up the phone and start yapping and talking. You keep your mouth shut during a deluge, you'll survive. You open it wide, you'll drown like everybody else. The ants are too busy moving ahead in industry and trusting God and rebuilding what the hose knocked down that they are not the least bit interested in present enemies. Do you know they have a purpose? They have a plan. They have a destiny. They're going somewhere. They have to let their past go. They've got to move from summer into winter because they are on an important journey. And I think sometimes we've forgotten that we are involved in something more important than our own immediate lives. In the body of Christ, we belong to something greater than ourselves, and we should not have any time for critics. Critics ought to be dogs barking at a passing train. Is a dog barking at the train you're on a threat to you? I hope not. See, ants don't have time in the present for critics or enemies. And by the way, everything is an enemy to an ant. Junior in his little baby shoes is an enemy. The broom is an enemy. Your grandmother in a walker is an enemy. Everything is an enemy to the ant. He's hopeless, he's helpless, but he will never stop his industry. He will never stop going from summer to winter. He will never stop releasing the past, and he will never stop getting up again. Loved one, we need to be so involved with a sense of destiny in our lives, moving towards the future, that we just don't have time to open our mouths and get on the phone and worry about dogs barking at passing trains. Someone say amen, because I know it's good. Come on, you're waterproof. We know it. We've seen you. You ever seen you can destroy their world? You can destroy the ants' kingdom. Your prophets warned you of it. And as soon as you destroy their kingdom, they will get right back up without complaining, and they will get right back in the race, and they will just start doing again what they are uniquely called to do. You may not be able to build a cathedral, but you can build the best ant hill that God's ever built through any ant. See, God says in Proverbs 30, go to the ant. I want you to learn. I want you to get an instinct with regard to the future so that you will move ahead, because the future is more important than the past right now. We have got to prepare ourselves. I can't prepare you for your future. We need to prepare for temptation. We need to prepare for test and trial. Loved one, if you're not ready for temptation, it's always ready for you. I tell my kids, I can resist anything but temptation. You see, I tell my teens, you got to decide your morals up front and don't decide them in the back seat of the bus with Connie. See, if you do not want to wait until the temptation is upon you to pre-plan what your response is going to be, because I can tell you what's going to happen in the back of the bus when you start developing your ethics and morals on site. You hang around a slippery creek bed, you're going to slide in every time, not once, every time. So see, we need to prepare in advance when it's summertime and there's no temptation around and there's no trial around, so that when it pops up, we can go, there it is. I've been waiting for you the whole time. I already pre-planned what I'm going to do. I've already preset my morals. I've already got my boundaries. Sorry, I'm not going anywhere near that. But you see, if we don't prepare for our future in summer when there's plenty, then we're not going to have anything in winter, morally speaking, when that season strikes. Someone say amen, because I know it's true. And I know you just staring at me like I owe you money. But that's what the ant is teaching us. See, if you don't prepare for trial, then it will destroy you when it comes. If you've been warned, you can say, there it is. I've been waiting for you the whole time. I was waiting for temptation. Absolutely. For my doubt, the doubts with regard to my faith. Oh, I'm so ready. Can't have faith without doubt. Come on in, doubt. Come on in, I can deal with you. If we prepare in advance emotionally and morally, and you know what? We're not taken by surprise. We can say, there it is. I've been waiting for you the whole time. Now, next, fourth, the ant is willing to delay gratification. God says, go to the ants. The ants are always, they've got an exquisite gift of waiting until later. See, if you eat everything that's on your plate right now, it will kill you. If you try to get everything now, you know, chasing the rainbow, shooting heroin in your being, you can't have everything all the time on your terms, or it would kill you. The ants teach us delayed gratification. They know the difference between needs and wants intuitively. We don't. My kids need a toy, and they want a toy. They need water. They need air. They need food. They want. See, we don't know the difference between needs and wants, so we want everything. And everything we see and everything, the ant has an amazing wisdom capacity to delay gratification. You know, some presents are supposed to wait until Christmas morning before they're open. Remember the credit card, first one you got in your life? Buy now, pray later. Remember the credit card thing? It gets to you, and it's blank slate. And your first impulse is just to go and fill it up in one day. By the time you move from Nordstrom's to May Company to the market, you've already got a $5,000 limit. All just, whoosh. But now 30 days later, you're going to get a bill. 30 days. See, the ant knows that we have to sometimes delay gratification, and we sometimes have to learn that it is the better part of wisdom to wait to indulge in certain things, not in summertime when it's available to you, but in wintertime. You know, this is so important with couples that are dating or are engaged to be married. You know, it's only appropriate that there be a delay in gratification, or you're going to ruin your relationship. You're going to soil your own moral life. And, you know, it's just best to buy that Christmas present and wait till Christmas morning when it's legitimate to open that present. See, the ants will teach us delayed gratification. And that's what our kids need to learn. And they need to learn that, you know, sometimes health and wealth are best appreciated when interrupted. I said health and wealth are sometimes best appreciated when interrupted. Sometimes you'll lose all your money. And, boy, I'm telling you, the best seasoning for food is hunger. Mm-mm-mm. There's just something about delayed gratification. And I've got to teach my kids now. Grant's getting to the point where he can do a little job. And the point with regard to his job is that he's going to have to learn how to handle money. He's got to have to learn what $5 is and what $10 can mean. And he's going to have to wait a little bit before he gets that Xbox, because I can't afford that Xbox right now to replace that Xbox. And that's $500. So he doesn't like delayed gratification, my 13-year-old. He thinks it is a wicked thing, and it is a devil to be rebuked and fasted against. But, you know, the ant will teach us that we've got to be willing to delay our gratification. You know, God will never give you a blessing until he prepares you for that blessing. He'll never put you in a place until you're prepared for that place. And next, fifth, the ant is willing to grab something greater than himself. Have you ever seen the ants? They'll grab a peach and start trying to pull it down their hole. They'll grab a glazed donut and try to kill two or three of them. You know, they somehow communicate and bring out 10,000 other ants, and they've got a donut. And it looks crazy. You know, sometimes you look crazy when you grab on to what you're grabbing on to, because it is something so much bigger than you're able to handle. It's beyond your finances. It's beyond your talent. It's beyond your gift. It's beyond your personal ability. And I'm convinced that if we're not grabbing something so much bigger than our own capacity, God has not given us that vision and that mandate. Everything the Lord calls us to do is something we can never fulfill in our own instincts, our own talents, our own abilities. And the ant doesn't even try. They immediately put out a message for 10,000 more workers to pop up. And then they start doing their crazy little walk backward, forward. You just watch them all day long. And then just sort of wipe out their trail and watch them. And they'll regroup and they'll pick up the piece of bacon. By the way, when you show any food to an ant, they become unstoppable. Once they taste that little bit, just drip a little caramel out of your mouth onto it. Let them taste it. Their antennas go wild and the entire ant hill comes up. Once you give them food, they'll never go away, ever. And you know, God wants us to be that way. When we taste of his presence, when we read his word, when we get enthusiastic about what he's doing in the world, we should be people that are insatiable, utterly committed to go crazy for him. And you know, they don't care if they look foolish. Noah building an ark for 120 years looked foolish. We are participating, I think, in archetypical ministries international. We're people that are involved in strange ministry things. And you've got to be willing to look nuts. You've got to be willing to be ahead of your time. You've got to be willing to look as stupid as an ant looks when they're trying to drag a donut down the hole. Someone say amen. The ant is willing to grab at something greater than himself, and our vision has to be bigger. And by the way, ants are opportunists. They will take any opportunity at food. They will take absolutely any opportunity to build. They can build something 500 times their own height. They can lift 50 times their own weight. That's like me lifting 4,000 pounds right now and running as fast as a racehorse. That's the Craig ant capacity. Now, that's not the shade of the teaching where I'm going to say, come on, lift up 4,000. Dennis has me doing a 45-pound weight, and that's hard enough. None of you here could lift the bruiser. One of you could. But the bottom line, can you imagine 4,000 pounds? Well, you know what? It's going to look that weird when God calls you and puts his anointing on your life. You got to be willing to look crazy, grabbing at something so much bigger than you are. And I want to encourage you today that it's time for us to look to the future. It's time for us to release the past. It's time for us to be a people who are focused on the task in front of us, and we are impervious to enemies, impervious to our own opinions with regard to our past, and we're a people who are moving forward with boldness and confidence. And I don't care if your marriage burnt down and your ministry burnt down and all your and everybody died in your family. We're living in a time now where people are dying like flies on left, right, and front, and center, and it's going to continue to happen. But we continue to move forward in the name of Jesus. We continue to move ahead. When they look at us, they see industry. When they look at us, they see people on purpose with a plan taking ground. And like Dr. Henry Cloud says, it's only good time passing in our lives right now. I'm learning more today than I learned yesterday. I'm becoming more emotionally than I was yesterday. When I move from this summer, this present, to my winter, the future, I'm going to be a better man. I'm going to be a wiser man. I'm going to be more developed in my gifts and abilities. I do not want bad time passing in my life where nothing develops. Loved one, I'm hopeful today that maybe we want majesty, but God says, look at the ant. Look at the coney, look at the locust, look at the spider. Look at four little things that will betray all the big things God is doing. Sometimes he will use a creature instead of a preacher. And I don't want you ever to look at ants the same way again. I want you to look at them before you destroy them. No. And say, I learned a lot. By the way, their lifespan is 45 to 60 days. But they get an awful lot done in their lifespan. And we don't know what your lifespan is. You may die this week. But you know what? If we're making the most of our summer present moment right now, it's okay. Go when it's your time to go. Leave when it's your time to leave. It's okay. God is in control. Look what happens when you stay beyond what you should. Hezekiah lived 15 more years, gave birth to Manasseh, the Hitler of the Old Testament. Die when it's your time to die. There are worse things than dying. One of them is having lived, never knowing your purpose. So God is pointing us to the book of nature. He's giving profound truths about common little things. Next week, we're going to look at the coney. And I'm telling you, God teaches volumes in wisdom to those of us that have eyes to see. You know, would to God that our eyes be open to the book of nature. We as Christians should see everything. We should look everywhere and find wisdom. From the hyssop in the wall to the cedars of Lebanon, we should be able to extract out and exegete and lead out meaning and purpose and symmetry and harmony. That's what I find when I fellowship with you people. When we talk on the phone or we meet over lunch and dinner, there's always a profound drawing out of wisdom and a putting together of events and circumstances, past, present, and future, integrating them all together in such an encouraging way that I go off encouraged and you go off encouraged. We need one another. We need to look at the book of nature illumined by the Holy Spirit. So this week, I want you to look at the ant. Go look for them. Find an anthill. Sit down and have your picnic. Throw them a little something. Throw them a little lettuce leaf with a bit of mayo. Watch how they prepare for the future. Watch how they cooperate. Look at their harmony. Look at the fact that they're full of industry. Look at the fact that whatever is destroyed, they will ignore enemies in the present, they will ignore catastrophe, and they will move ahead. And if you cut them in half, they'll use their antler to pull themselves forward. Father, we thank you right now that you're teaching us majestic truths through common little creatures. The ant, the coney, the locust, the spider. Oh, Father, we pray that the book of nature would be an open book for us as your people. I pray for those listening and watching by television right now, Lord, that you would inspire hope that there's a future for them beyond this summer moment. that we need to release the past now. We need to disregard enemies and criticism now. We need to move forward in cooperation with the work you're doing in us, Lord. We pray for those watching and listening for a spirit of encouragement and hope to come upon them in the name of Jesus, that they will realize they are here on purpose. They are here for a planned purpose. And if we don't know our purpose, then you're going to make our purpose to discover what it is that our purpose is, Lord. You know our plan. You know our ways. You know our frame, Lord. We pray right now that the God who is sovereign over a quadrillion ants, 10 with 50 zeros after it, in this planet, is the God of our lives, and the God of our future, and the God of our hope. We pray, Lord, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that we would all find forgiveness this morning, hope this morning, and a sense of destiny that will carry us from the past through the present into a secure future. Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord says, I know the thoughts I have for you, thoughts for good only and not for evil, to bring you to a sure and secure future. Father, we thank you for that fact and we bless you for it in Jesus' name. Someone give the Lord praise right now. Let's give him some praise. Thank you, Lord. You've got a plan. Thank you, God. There is a way.